Hey, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of the Pulling on Heaven podcast, Christmas edition.
I love this time of year for a variety of reasons. Probably one of the most important things to me, or the thing that I enjoy the most about this season, is everybody's more Jesus-minded, you know, and a lot of people talking about, you know, when they say happy holidays, I always say, well, Merry Christmas. You know, I just like to stir things up a little bit.
Sure.
In a good way. But I love this time of year because it's such a reminder of why we are where we are. And I think about that all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm always thinking, God, thank you for saving us. I mean, what would the world be without redemption through Christ? And that's what Christmas is all about, the coming of our Savior. And man, I just love it. I love the beautiful lights and all that stuff. I just think it's
wonder.
Yeah, because people are, you know, there's a lot of ideas about what Christmas is and isn't and whatnot. But I like to own the day. I don't give any day to the devil or to, pagan worships or anything like that. This day belongs to God. And we have the power, we were given the power from the genesis of time to determine what this day, today is, and what Christmas represents and what it means. And I call it the blessing of our Savior. You know, salvation has come, freedom. So I love this season. I'm really, really excited about what God is doing this year, the close of 2024. Can you believe that?
It's
stepping into 2025. But what a joyous season. I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, because unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So I love this time of year. What about you?
Well, I was just thinking you saying that, because I love that phrase too, of I bring you tidings of great joy. And I was thinking about, you know, the perception, you know, it changes fortune, like you said. At Christmas time, I think, like, Jesus gets a little more play culturally than he would otherwise, right?
Exactly.
But when you think about the modern day church, and even not even just the modern day church, the reputation that has followed much of the church throughout the years, and let's say from a negative standpoint, right, the last thing you think of the church is tidings of great joy.
Yeah.
You know, and the idea of the angel showing up and saying, fear not, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men, where it's like, normally you think, okay, God showing up, that's a scary thing, as it should be in a lot of ways. But he came to say, no, you may have been scared before, but things are different now. He's come to engage with us so that we can be, as you like to say, an Emmanuelist.
Yeah, an Emmanuelist. Yeah, God is always with me. You know, and that's something really interesting, because there's such a cultural diversity in the way people orient themselves to a season, to a holiday. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of people, it's kind of a depressing time for a variety of different reasons.
Sure.
And certainly isn't that you and I don't both understand what a lot of people go through, holiday seasons, expectations, maybe certain things have happened before the holidays or during certain holidays. It just kind of brings them down.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we have through Jesus Christ the power of the Holy Spirit. We have the power that needs to be exercised. And one of those authorities that God has given us is the power of recognition, to recognize this is a day, we say it all the time, this is a day, who made it? God did. And what am I going to do with it? I'm not going to reminisce in the past. As Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. You can do that. You really can, but you replace it with something else. This is a day God has made. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it, which is a decision in itself.
Yeah.
I choose to make a decision this day, whether it's Christmas Day or New Year's Day or whatever the day is, I'm going to say in my heart and declare in my mind, this is God's day. This is a blessed day. It doesn't belong to anybody. It doesn't belong to a bad memory. It doesn't belong to a hardship. It doesn't belong to any pagan celebrations. This is a celebration of salvation that I get to do every day, and we've chosen. And people say, well, this isn't really Christmas Day. It isn't. Well, whatever day it is, shouldn't we treat every day that way? So if we pick out a particular day of the year and we determine this is the day we're going to celebrate the birth of Christ, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
And when we, you know what's important when we come together, when we just agree. So let's just agree that December the 25th is Christmas Day. I mean, let's just declare this is a day God has made, and we celebrate the birth of Christ in one way or another when we're born of God, when we're born of the Spirit. We celebrate every day as the day of the Lord, the day Christ came. So if we pick out one particular day in December, let's do something. Let's come together and just agree, yeah, regardless of what the specific hour or day that it actually occurred on, meaning the birth of Christ, let's agree together that we're going to celebrate it today, and we're going to call today, December the 25th, the birth of Christ, and celebrate it coming together in unity, because there's a lot of power in unity. We'd be better off to agree on a day rather than to fight about the wrong day.
Correct.
And disagree. Point. So let's come into unity till we all come, the word says, into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. So let's say December the 25th is Christmas Day. It's the day of Christ. It's the day of the birth of our Lord and Savior, where we get to think and to ponder, and people are more receptive too. Sometimes people are closed off, but you know, around this season, people are more open to Christ. You know, someone sent me a text, a business text, and they're not necessarily a believer. Their culture is different. Their faith is different. But I just said, thank God for Jesus. And it took a little while, and a little while later, they said, yes, I agree. So, you know, just that opportunity, it's kind of like, it's all right for you, even though you may not be aware or be a believer in who Christ is. It's all right for you to say, yes, I agree, because it is December the 25th. It's coming. We're coming. My wife and I say it's Christmas season, and we love it because people talk more about Jesus. They talk more about God. I mean, you hear them, they're just more open. And it really is kind of where that battle of the mind gets overcome with the holiday of the season, the joy of the season.
It's the chance to become like a child, like Jesus said.
Yeah, it is.
Because that's what the kingdom,
and I'm so good at.
That's right? You guys got to see this train he's got at his house. You go over to Pastor Gary's house, and he's like the biggest kid there is. Next to me, maybe, but it's always
why we enjoy it so much. Together.
But I was going to say, you know, it's really interesting you talking about that, and even just the idea of picking that day and agreeing on a day. And I think it goes so much far beyond that, because if you know, a lot of times when you think about Christmas and you think about where we are as a culture, and some people, understandably with a sincere heart, would go like, oh, you know, we really got to work to keep Christ in Christmas, or we got to, you know, people are losing what the point is of Christmas and people are trying to change it. But the reality is that Christmas came took a pagan holiday and said, let's make us this. And so, and that's what Jesus showed up to pagan shepherds.
Redeemed.
Jesus came into a messed up people. And so it's all about redeeming things.
Exactly.
And it's just, to me, it's about it's the growth of the kingdom going forward. And sometimes things go in fits and starts, but I don't see, for instance, I don't see Christmas under attack. What I see is Christmas still being birthed in the midst of something that wasn't Christmas.
Oh, that's excellent. I love that.
You know?
Yeah, that's very good.
And I think the things that tend to keep it from, or let's say whenever the kingdom in that regard, let's say Christmas recedes and we guys say, oh, we're not, no one's, you know, making it about Jesus and blah, blah, blah. Well, that tends to be because the people who are supposed to represent Jesus, I don't feel like we're doing enough to cause people to want that, you know? And so that's what was the power and the magic, I think, of the angels showing up to the shepherds that first time. These just unsuspecting people, they didn't deserve anything, and they got to be the ones that were shared something. No one even believed them at first. And so the fact that Christmas even is what it is, celebrated culturally, to me is a pretty amazing thing that the kingdom could expand this much, at least, and it's going to keep going.
Yeah. Well, you know, isn't it about redemption?
Yeah.
When Jesus came and he was birthed, and everybody, I mean, what a new experience. Like, what is going on here? Could this possibly be the fulfillment of the word?
Yeah.
You know, a savior is born, a redeemer is coming. And is this it? Could this, and that's what was in people's mind. Is this it? Is this it? And it was those that believed, you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. And you know what? It wasn't just Peter. A lot of people said that. And Nathaniel was one of the first people to say, you are the prophesied coming king. And Jesus said to him, he said, well, you recognize me as Lord just because I told you I saw you, but wait till you see what's coming. So why not take the excitement of a season, call it a pagan holiday, that someone conjured up.
Yeah.
Well, let's own it, believers. Let's own it. Let's make that Christ's holiday. Let's call it what we're all about, the year or the month or the day of our Redeemer, the year of the Lord, the salvation of our God. Let's own it. Let's take dominion. Instead of closing yourself off to the idea of, oh, you know, pagans started this or whatever all the ideas out there are. I really don't delve a lot into them because I'm not interested in what isn't God. I'm interested in what is God. And that's what our life is about. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. So why not redeem every single day we can? And if it is a celebrated evil day in some cultures, why not own it, redeem it, and glorify God in it? I mean, who are we? Take dominion over the whole earth, not back off, close yourself off, shut yourself down, and talk about this is not, this as though it didn't belong to God. This is the day God has made every single day. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. So yeah, I love the season. I love the representation that in so many cultures, Christians, of course, come into the unity of the faith. Mm-hmm. This is a day where we're going to celebrate Jesus. And people, you know, they think more about other people. You know, we need to get someone a gift, or we need to call someone, or we need to go and visit people that they normally wouldn't. I mean, just the whole recognition of the season makes us act more the way we should be acting through the entire year. And I know there's some people that don't, but I'm talking about the majority of those that celebrate it in the spirit that it is intended to be celebrated in. And who determined that? God from the beginning. Take dominion over all the earth. What day? Every day. 365 days, 24 hours a day, 52 weeks a year, you know, 12 months a year. Take dominion over the earth and make it the Lord's day. It belongs to him, so let's celebrate it as that day. And I really believe if we enter into this season, even those that have a tough time would be more inspired, more encouraged just by the joy. I mean, when someone comes into your house or you're around someone and they're laughing and they just feel good, even if you don't, it tends to inspire joy and peace. And you might for a minute forget why you're upset or sad. And then in that moment that you forget, maybe God will speak to you because we're not centered on what the problem is, but we're more focused on what the answer is. Jesus, unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What a great season, right? Isn't that what it's about?
Absolutely. And what's so cool too is because it is the one season that I think truly you see the spirit of who Jesus is flowing even outside of the regular believers.
Yeah.
Because they understand the power. We're all created, not just with that God-shaped void, as we like to say, but I think we're all, our optimum operating is from a place of joy and peace and sharing and giving. And that just people adopt that naturally. And it's like, if we could take that spirit, and like you said, take it 365 all throughout the year, the world would be a very, very different place.
Because
your attitude of just how you see things is different.
And it's how you see things. We want God to come and make this big change and just help us. And I hear the word and the spirit of God saying, I've done that. It's finished. You know, my God, his way is perfect. He's orchestrated it for us in such a specific harmony with his will.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, I've given you all power over all the earth. So if you'll glorify me, seek first my kingdom, make that kingdom known, speak about the kingdom, speak about the nature of God. People have an innate sense of adapting to and then adopting that spirit. So if you're joyful, I did it yesterday, you know, going through different stores and different businesses, and maybe they'll say, hey, have a great day, or they'll say, happy holidays, and I'll say, you have a Merry Christmas. It's just kind of like they light up and go, yeah, Merry Christmas. I mean, we have the power. Our words carry authority. The Spirit of God carries the presence of his will and his word through our mouths. We are the instruments. We are a part of God's own reality because he made us out of his will. And so he made us a part of what? If God created it by his will, then his will is a part of who he is. And since we're created out of that will, we're a part of God's reality, and we get to share that. And this season, people are just more receptive to talking about Christ and Christmas. They have a tendency to be a little more forgiving, if you will, mm-hmm. even non-believers to, well, yeah. there's those Christians or there's those Christmas people, so we'll give them, you know, let's give them a little courtesy and be okay with it. But it opens up the opportunity to be able to share Christ.
Yeah.
And a simple thing. And the attitude of giving, Jesus said, given it shall be given, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. The whole idea behind this season is so God-inspired, and if we would see it that way and that way alone and forget every other negative aspect of it and just let the light of Christ shine as it did when the announcement came, you know, and the word says that an enormous number of the heavenly host started singing, glory to God, you know, peace on earth, goodwill to men. I mean, it's just, let's do that, believers. Let's be that light. Let's be totally. That and not think about what you can't do or what you wish you could do or what someone else is doing. What can I do? Who am I? I can share the light of this is a day God has made. I own it and I call it blessed of the Lord. This is a great season of receiving and giving and loving and forgetting. When Christ came, he forgave and forgot mm-hmm. those things that were sin and condemnation to us. Cast them away as far as the east is from the west, and only remembered one thing. What? Why did God make me? Why did God create yeah. them? He created them for his purpose and for his pleasure. We were created. And that has the power. Christmas time could change the rest of your year.
It really could.
This season, the remembrance of the birth of Christ, taking on the full, complying to the fullness of who Christ in us is, Savior, Lord, Redeemer, forgetting the past, looking forward, better day, a brighter day, the star shining in the heavens, pointing the way, you know, a Savior is born, bringing gifts, honoring the Savior, honoring the Lord, loving one another, being kind, thinking more kindly, thinking more about making your presence known in someone else's life. I mean, acting more like Jesus.
Yeah. Wow. And as you were talking to me, I started thinking about the idea of bundled up within that idea of God becoming flesh and God with us. And that it's so much bigger than even just as big as it is that God would become human flesh. He becomes a baby.
Incredible.
Right? He comes the most vulnerable. But what that means in terms of God's creation and the new covenant that it brought, it really is a new birth. His own birth is a new birth of man, which obviously when you think about it, it's obvious because Jesus is the new Adam. And, you know, I was actually also thinking about that idea, which I've never put together. I'm sure many people have talked about it, but, you know, of Adam and God bringing him the animals and baby Jesus in the manger with the animals all around him. And, you know, he's in his own second mini Eden and, yeah, you know, all right. this great stuff. But it really is. It's a new start. It's like there's a Christmas song that, I forget which one, but it mentions this is the day the world begins again. Mm. And the idea of that only means something if we let it mean something.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're here. I mean, or else God would have just orchestrated everything he wanted yeah. through us without us willing to do it. The PowerPoint here, your superpower, as everybody is calling it these days, is that we have the will to make a choice. We have a will. God gave it to us. And he said, if you will surrender your will, then you make space for mine. Mm-hmm. And that's what Christ is all about. Otherwise, God would have just orchestrated through us. He's God. Listen, he can do anything. Why not just make a creature and just say, just do this? Because then God's not able to share his nature by the will of someone else. So God's will is amazing. It's perfect. God, my God, his way is perfect. But if he gives us a will and we willingly, by choice, surrender it to him to take on his will, now we're sharing with God. In other words, God's will pleases him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And when someone does his will, then it pleases the Father. Why? Because he's able to share his will with us. God's all about sharing who he is.
Yeah.
He's not trying to get something out of us that he doesn't have. He's trying to share something with us that he is all about. and the opportunity to say, this is the day God has made. I'm going to rejoice. Well, what do you have to rejoice about? That I am the will of the Father, because he made me out of his own will. It's not by my allocation. It's not by my choice. It's not anything I did. It's not by my works. I can't boast. It's the will of God. But I acknowledge that I am the will of the Father. He chose me. So I surrender my will to his, so I can share in his nature. And Jesus came so we could forget all the bad we did. And listen, man, sometimes religion is just so good about bringing up
the bad,
the memory of the bad, and talking about if something goes awry, you know, it aims, you know, you point our finger, something evil is happening. What if God's just bringing change that is necessary, and we just go ahead and surrender to that? And regardless, won't that solve the issue anyway? Won't that shine the light as to God? God's in it at all times. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So regardless of what's going on, if we can get the mind of God at that moment, then the issue is handled. It's resolved. You know, the blessing takes place right then and there. You see the reason for the trial, or you're strengthened by it. As the old saying, mm-hmm. I saw a meme, and it was a mouse pushing, you know, he was caught in a mouse trap, but he started using it like a bench press. Yes. And the caption is, what doesn't kill you will make you stronger. So why not take the opportunity of that trial and make you stronger? But it's the will. We have the blessing of being able to determine in our own heart and mind, I want to believe God in this. I want the will of the Lord in this. And I'm not going to give any credit to any power but of God. And instead of saying, you know, the devil's trying to destroy me, or these wicked people or evil people in the earth, I'm going to say, God, what is it you're doing? Yeah. What are you up to? What are you saying? Reveal it to me, because I know you're with me always. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. So why wouldn't you be here right now? Mm-hmm. What are you doing, God? And in that moment, our faith connects to the will of the Father, because God is all authority at all time. There isn't anything or anyone that's going to overwhelm God. Jesus overwhelmed the world. He came into the world, and the world couldn't overcome him, couldn't even consciously wrap their mind around what was going on. But by the Holy Spirit, God revealed what was taking place, that he was fulfilling his word, that a Savior had come. We have the power in surrendering our will and saying, God, I'm going to choose. I don't feel like it. I feel totally opposed and opposite to what I'm about to say, but this is my faith, surrendering my will for yours, in exchange for yours, because I know your way is perfect and it's going to work out so well. God, what are you up to?
Yeah.
What are you doing right now? I know a lot of people would have said evil has come on me, but you said no evil would come nigh my dwelling. So even this way, even though this may not feel comfortable, it may feel uncomfortable, it may look horrible, God, you're in the midst of the sea, you're in the storm, you're on the water. When the waters rage, you're there. Did you stir the waters up? I think you did, God. When Jesus was walking on the water, I think he stirred the water. I think he stirred the way. I think he made the storm. And he was walking in the midst of the storm. Jesus is in the midst of that trying time. And it doesn't have to feel bad. A revelation is, this is the greatest season of my life. God is God. What are you up to? I know you're in this. You're in the storm. So Peter had a moment of revelation, and he said, if this is you, God, tell me to walk with you. Tell me to come. Jesus said, it's me, Peter, come. If we take on more of that attitude,
yeah.
Jesus, what are you up to? God, is this you? If it is, tell me what you want me to know. Reveal to me what, maybe I need correction. Maybe I just need direction or instruction. Maybe I need a revelation. What are you up to, God? He said if we'd call on him, he would answer us. Those are opportunities we shouldn't let go by without apprehending what God is doing in that moment. That's this season.
It absolutely is, because it teaches us to look beyond everything that means, let's say, theologically.
Yeah.
It's such an insight into how God wants us to look at things, because it is, it's the story of mystery and wonder. It's if you would think that God was going to do, bring about the Savior of the world, bring about the King of Kings and all this stuff, it would be done differently. And we think about the things we want God to do in our lives and the ways we dream about them being executed and the way we want them. But the Christmas story says it's not going to look anything like what you think. And in fact, in the worst case scenario, you're going to think it's dumb. In the best case scenario, you might go like, how is anything gonna come out of this? They're in, you know, they don't even have a place to stay. They're in the manger. You've got shepherds, shepherds oftentimes were criminals that no one would even listen to because they were like the outcasts. I'm gonna show up to these guys and we're gonna do this and all these things in a way that's like, it doesn't look like anything of what you would think it was.
Yeah.
And then when you extrapolate like that, obviously nothing about Jesus looked like anything anyone was expecting. That's why so many people missed him. But God's saying that's why we wrap up gifts, right? Because that in of itself is the analogy of what even discovering the value of what Christmas is. And if we were to take that and apply that to just what you're saying, all of our circumstances, of all the things that God's doing, going like, maybe everything is going exactly according to plan, but my plan is nowhere near as wondrous and mysterious and incredible as what God's plans is, and embrace the mystery versus going like, I have to know.
Yeah. What a concept.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be a revelation. You can't even just read the word and just preach it.
Yeah.
You need, the word says the Spirit has to quicken the word in you. You need revelation. You should read the word and you should seek for revelation. God, what do you mean in this? You said something. You said when Jesus came, people didn't expect him. They didn't expect it to be orchestrated in the manner that it was. They expected something different. They expected a man to step out, look like a king, act like a king, come in and just take rule and authority. What did the one guy say? Can anything good? Didn't Nathaniel say that? Anything good come out of Bethlehem? I mean, how is that going to be? God orchestrates it in such a way that it's always a surprise. Because he said, I'll do exceeding abundant and beyond all you know to ask or think. He said, I'm able to do that. Will you believe me for that? And what would he say when people came to him? Do you believe that I can do this? He didn't just say, listen, I'm going to do it to you. He said, or I'm going to do it for you. He said, I want you to have an experience with me of the power that's about to do what you need done to heal you.
Mary being the perfect example.
Exactly. And what did she, she said, people from now on will call me blessed. Why? Because she believed what Jesus said, what God said to her, what the angel of the Lord said. You know, I'm going to, the Holy Spirit is going to come on you. The Holy Spirit, my daughter and I, our daughters and I and my wife Donna were talking about the need of the Holy Spirit and to talk about the Holy Spirit more and make known the deeds and the power and the necessity of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I actually think I'm going to be speaking a bit about that this Sunday.
Oh, but fantastic.
Just how it opens your mind. You bring someone a gift. It's wrapped. What a surprise. What's in here? You know, maybe you know. Sometimes in my house, we kind of know what's, you know, for birthdays and everything, because it's just easier to say, I like that. I'll buy it. You wrap it up.
Well, I buy something they don't
but
want.
But it's still, you know, it's
my wife and I were debating this the other day.
Going through the motions of surprise, you know, but you set your mind. But, you know, you give someone a gift, and we celebrated. We like to get some of the family and whatnot together once a year and just celebrate, you know, this season and thankful for what the team and people do and express it in different ways with different people based on, you know, who they are, where they are, their time available and all that stuff. But anyway, get together and say, hey, we just want to say thank you for I'm remembering who you are and what you've done and how you've stood faithfully with us. And God's going to do that with us. I remember how you stood in faith. You believed me when it was trying and you couldn't wrap your mind around it. I remember that you remembered me and you made me first place. And instead of complaining, you gave me praise, you gave me glory. And God's going to say, here's a gift. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared. What a gift. It didn't end when Jesus came. He ended on the cross everything that kept us out of the surprise circle.
Yeah.
You know, and brought us into the miraculous. And, you know, this season, it's like you said, you hand someone a gift. Now, what's in here? And it's an unwrapping. It's God. When God does something, it's always a mystery. The word says that he's given to us to know the mysteries of God. And the reason is because it so supersedes, it's so beyond our conscious ability or our effort consciously to wrap our mind around who God is and what he's doing. It's a surprise. And that's a part of the joy of life, something wonderful that you weren't aware of or didn't know about. And God opens your eyes to it. It's called revelation. And Jesus is all about revelation. So when you hand someone a gift and they open it, think about it. This is, what are you going to call this day? What are you going to call this celebration? What are you going to call this action? You know, every event holds the potential for purpose. and destiny. Make it that. Make it purposeful. Make it destiny. How are you going to think about this season? You can make this the greatest Christmas season of your life if you choose to think about it correctly. You can absolutely turn the tide, you know, roll back the time to the day of Christ and experience that joy of salvation and something new has happened. The Word of God is fulfilled and experience the surprise and the wonder and look at it that way. You know, take out all the negative orchestration of what evil may say or what any pagan religion or any ungodly efforts towards any day means, because it's not who we are. We're not about any of that. We're about Jesus, man. Jesus, 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 all the way, every day. And make it, this is the day God has made. I'm rejoicing. I'm glad. I'm thankful for it. And I'm going to make this a day of wonder. God's going to orchestrate a day of wonder through me. Bartimaeus comes up and he throws off his beggar's cloak, which was like throwing off the past and saying, give me sight that I may see. And Jesus said, according to your faith. So let's say, God, give us sight. Help us to see you in a way in this season like we've never seen you before. Be a surprise and a wonder to us, because you are anyway. You exceed our imagination. Let this season be a representation of how you're going to live the rest of the year, the coming year, 2025. Let's open that door. Let's take dominion. No one told Bartimaeus to do what he did. As a matter of fact, the disciples and the people were telling him to be quiet. Sit down, go back, you know, grab your cloak and sit there with your tin cup and do what you do. But he didn't. He approached Jesus, the woman with the issue, as she felt condemned in herself, but she pushed past that because all she could see was the virtue of Christ. And she just wanted to touch it. Just see the virtue of Christ. Just want to touch it. Just touch the hem of the garment of the virtue of Christ. Just look for the good and God will reveal himself, because God is good and he's all things. And my God, his way is perfect.
It is. It really
Merry Christmas.
Is. Merry Christmas to you and everyone watching. It's such a cliche to say, like, every day can be Christmas. But, you know, I encourage everyone, if you can truly capture the spirit and the mystery and wonder of what this is, of who Jesus is and God made manifest, then every day, we don't need the end to come of him coming back on the clouds right now. A lot of times we just need to have him be birthed for the first time in each of our days.
Yeah.
And if we can do that, and then we can see and live with everything that comes, just like you were saying, that comes our way during the day, and we approach it the same way they approached that first Christmas,
yeah,
our lives would be radically changed. So Merry Christmas. Thank you so much. I hope you and your family have just the most amazing time and season ever.
And you and yours, Steve. And I know we will.
Amen.
God bless you. Thanks,
guys.
God bless you.